Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, William Morales. And on today's show, I have Matthew Sullivan. Matthew is the CEO and founder of Quantum RE, a company that solves a real problem from homeowners, which we'll get into in a minute. Matthew, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. How are you?
Very well, William. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. So, Matthew, one, were you always entrepreneurial as a child? Was that in your blood growing up, or this is something you fell into as you got older?
Well, I think I started off life as a rebel without a tie. And then as I got into my early 20s, I realized I was systemically unemployable, which led me to the natural pathway of becoming an entrepreneur. Now, I mean, in all seriousness, I think I always wanted to do things myself. I was always really keen on finding out how people do stuff. And I was always really interested in what people are doing and how they're doing it. So I never really saw myself. I never felt comfortable being employed. And I think that's a feeling that my employers all shared as well. They didn't feel comfortable me being employed with them. So it was a mutual understanding.
I love it.
On a path in my early 20s of entrepreneurialism.
So how did you get into real estate? Was that early on also, or that came a little later? What was like your first endeavor into entrepreneurship?
Well, I think real estate is one of those things that I wish I got into about 30 something years ago, because it is probably the smartest thing, you know, one can do with one's money. I really threw myself into it when I came to the US, which was about 7 years ago. So I'm originally from the southeast of England, in Kent. And I moved over to the US, originally to move to Southern California 7 years ago. And the first thing I did really was to set up a real estate crowdfunding company. It was one of the very first crowdfunding companies that came out hot on the heels of the Jobs Act, which, funnily enough, today the SEC announced a major upgrade to crowdfunding. So, you know, it's amazing how it's matured. So, you know, real estate was something that I really always wanted to get into. Previously, my businesses had been focused on technology platforms, finance, lending. So sort of real estate to a certain degree, but really this brought it all together.
No, that's amazing, because you know what, that you bought that out, you know, a crowdfunding business, because you know what, Matthew, as you can see now, there's how many are they? 10, 15, 20 of these, maybe more, that we haven't heard of. I mean, we got all types of crowdfunding space now. So it's amazing, like you turn on the TV or you turn on a podcast or whatever, and there's a new crowdfunding site.
The name of your podcast, Peer-to-Peer, I think that's I think where the growth is. And the really interesting thing is that the amount of activity and the amount of investment that has gone in over the last few months has been significantly greater than the same period last year or the year before. So despite this global pandemic, the increase in investment, I think, is something like three times the same period last year. So it's great. It's got its traction. It's beginning to grow at a furious rate now. So I think this whole this platform, this peer-to-peer investment and trading, I think we're really beginning to see it coming into its own now.
And in some platforms, they allow uncredited investors, you know, anyone that might have a couple of bucks, you know, 500,000, 5,000, whatever it is, to get into real estate, where, you know, Matthew, if we go to conventional way, it's usually what, 20, 25% down for investment property, unless it's our own home. But it's amazing how that niche of real estate has taken off, like you just said. So I wanted to talk about the equity, what was it? The home equity contract. If you could explain what that is, because that's, again, that's right before we talk, right before we recorded, I was talking to you about this, and I find this amazing, because I'm going to be honest with you, I never heard of it. So please, if you can explain to my audience and obviously your audience.
Of course. Well, we're talking about a home equity contract or a home equity agreement. First of all, let's explain the problem that solves. So if you're a homeowner and you have equity in your home, the only way that you can access or unlock that equity at the moment is to go deeper into debt. In other words, you have an asset there, but because it's a single concentrated, non-financial, non-cash flowing, non-tradable asset, the only option you have at the moment is to go to the bank and borrow money. And that could be by way of a mortgage, a home equity line of credit, a reverse mortgage, or some other type of debt instrument that is secured against the asset, which is the equity in your home. Now we solve that problem, and it is a problem because if you are unable to borrow money for whatever reason, and those reasons could be that you don't have the right credit score, you don't have the right income, you don't have the right proof of income, there could be any number of reasons, because it's becoming increasingly difficult to borrow money at the moment. So you could be finding yourself in a situation where on paper, you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of wealth, yet you are unable to meet your monthly payments or your monthly outgoings because you simply cannot access it. So a home equity agreement enables homeowners to unlock equity and get a cash lump sum without having to borrow money. So it's an equity-based instrument. It's not a loan. It's not something that is a loan pretending to be something else. It is an investment in the equity portion of your home. And the reason it's not debt is because the way our investors get paid is that they take a share of the potential appreciation in the home rather than charging you interest.
Wow, that's amazing. So does the property need to be free and clear in order for you to touch that equity that you might have, whether, like you say, it might be a couple hundred thousand, whatever it is? Does the property need to be free and clear, or if it has a mortgage, either way it can work?
It can work either way. So it can be owned free and clear. And that's obviously a great solution for people that simply don't want to get back into debt. So there are people that can't borrow money, and there are people that don't want to borrow money. So if you've paid your home off, if you own it free and clear, this is a great way to access some of your equity without having to go back into the dreaded debt. If you have a mortgage, then as long as it meets our maximum loan to value criteria, as long as you have a certain amount of equity in your home, then we're able to invest in your home alongside your lender.
Oh, wow. That's great. So So if they're working with you, is there, like you said, there might be a percentage they'd be able to take out. Now, they have the mortgage that they're paying, if they have a mortgage, and now they pay. And now, are they paying this loan back if they're touching their equity? Are they paying this back, or this is something they could keep? If you could straighten that part out for me, I'm a little confused on that one.
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Okay. So, it's not a loan. So normally, if you borrow money, you can't borrow money to pay off money already. Well, you can, but it doesn't make sense. So you can't pay off your first mortgage with a second mortgage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Right.
But you can pay off your mortgage with a home equity agreement, because you're taking money out of equity. So if you've got, here's a number of scenarios we can go through. Okay. You might find yourself in a position, this is the most common situation at the moment, where people are house rich, but cash poor. So that means they need money just for living expenses, to pay off credit card debt. They may have run up some credit card balances that they want to clear. So this is a great way of using equity to pay off credit. You're not borrowing money on one hand and paying off debt on the other hand. It's a very different, you're moving money from your equity account and paying off your debt. If you have an existing mortgage, as long as the mortgage and our home equity investment is less than 70% of the value of your home, then we can invest. So if you've got a mortgage which is, say, 60% loan to value, you've got 40% equity. So we can take that up to 70% combined loan or combined lien to value. So we would be able to invest 10% of the value of your home in that case. So we can work with you. If you have a mortgage, you it does. You don't have to pay off. It's not like a reverse mortgage.
Right.
Take out a reverse mortgage. You have to pay off all of your existing mortgages, and you might find yourself in a position where you've got a really good rate, but you've got to pay it down with your reverse mortgage rate, which could be a lot higher. In this situation, with a home equity agreement, you keep your existing mortgage, and the capital that you get is an entirely different pot of money coming from a different part of the value of your home, and you can use it on whatever you want. And that could include paying off, if you've got a little bit of mortgage left, you could use that to pay off your mortgage so you could then own it free and clear.
Wow, that's great. So now this won't hurt the homeowner if they want to, let's say, if they're reducing their, would it hurt them if they're looking, let's say, to sell the property later on? Let's say they got the equity agreement, but now they're looking to sell a year later. Would that hurt them with the property value now? Because won't it reduce the property value? Well, that's a totally separate.
It has no impact. No impact on the value of the home. No impact on their ability to sell. There are no restrictions, no contingencies, no ability for us to constrain the homeowner. All that happens is when the homeowner sells the home, which can be any time over the next 30 years in some cases, then we get back the original investment together with a share of the appreciation. So that means only make our money by taking a share of the value of the home if the house has gone up in value, or when we take out the agreement, we agree the value of the home for the purposes of the agreement. That's through a combination of an appraisal and a valuation. We apply a slight discount to that valuation to make sure that if the house does not go up in value, or if in fact it goes down in value, then the investor is protected a little bit to make sure that they don't necessarily make a loss. But it has no impact on your ability to sell the home. It doesn't make the value any higher or any lower. So it's exactly what you would imagine it to be.
Right. So so to be eligible for this plan, you want to have a loan to value of at least 70%. And obviously, if it's 60 or 50, is that okay? You don't want to go any higher than 85, 90. That's just a little bit cutting it too close.
Yes, 70%. Is the amount that has to include your existing mortgage and any investment that we make.
Okay.
So in other words, if you want us to be able to make an investment, you've got to have less than 70%. So you must have a mortgage which is no more than, let's say, 60% of the value of your property, because then you've got that extra 10%, which is the ability for you to pull that out as cash through a home equity agreement.
So we have a house that's, let's say, worth, to make the numbers easier, 100,000. And if we have 40,000 in equity, am I right? And a $60,000 mortgage still, we could tap an extra 10,000 out of that.
Exactly, that's right. Now there are some minimums. So the minimum we have is $35,000. So your house would need to be worth 200,000 and above approximately. So that's the starting point, because the most that we will invest is 20%. So the other side of the equation is how much will you invest? And the most we will invest is 20% of the value of your home. So if we just bump the numbers up a little bit and say you've got a $500,000 home, the most we would invest is 20%, which is $100,000. And the maximum loan to value, so if you take that 100,000 and you add it to your mortgage, that must be less than $350,000. So those are the two sort of goalposts, as it were.
Right. So with the investors, obviously they're getting a little return on their money. Now, how long is their contract with the homeowner? If I got that right, is there
private contract with the homeowner?
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a personal agreement between the homeowner and the investment company. So there's no bank involved. So it's bank free finance, or it's non-bank finance. The agreements have a duration of up to 30 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
That means from the day you agree to go through with the home equity agreement, you've then got up to 30 years to settle the agreement, which can be typically by selling the home, or it can also be you by buying back the agreement. Now, there is, in most cases, and I mean most cases, no prepayment or no early payment penalty. So you could take out an agreement in January and you could sell the home in March. And that works for a number of people that use this as a source of capital to fix and flip properties, to improve properties before they sell the properties. See, because there's no prepayment penalty, then it's a very good way of raising capital in addition to any debt. Again, so there are many, many different use cases for what you can do with this money.
Wow. So this is basically, like you said, it's non-bank bank financing. So this is basically like a private lender.
Well, they're funds. So they're typically, okay, they're institutions, long-term funds that invest in this. Because if you think about it, the investment is an asset-backed residential real estate investment where the homeowner is still in occupation. So the homeowner has a vested interest. The homeowner pays the mortgage, pays the taxes, looks after the property. So there are very few costs associated with that property in terms of carrying costs for the investor. So in some cases, it's a much better investment than buying property and renting it out because the costs associated with it are much lower. And that's a very attractive investment because it's a long-term inflation hedge. It tends to outperform the house price index. So it's a good long-term asset-backed investment, typically for pension funds and for other long-term funds that have a requirement for this sort of asset-backed investment criteria.
So Matthew, why haven't we heard this before? This could be a game changer. I don't know how this program's been, how long it's been around.
But, well, it has, thankfully, it's been around for at least just over 10 years. Okay. And that means that it has gone through a number of evolutions. It's been tested. It's gone through a number of iterations. There are now five companies in the space. Pre-COVID, we were forecasting that 2020 was going to be a good year. I'm sure we weren't the only ones. We were expecting about $1 billion overall to be transacted in this space. So to answer your question, it's something that has been around. It's now beginning to get traction. It's in the very early stages, but it's gone through all the painful learning stages. It's got adoption. It's got a number of investors behind it. So I think over the next few years, we will just see more and more of these home equity agreements being carried out to the point where they will become another strategy for homeowners who want to find ways of unlocking their equity.
I love this. Now, okay, would this same program work for investment property? Like if I have an investment property and I seek, and obviously I'm paying a mortgage, let's say and I'm renting it out, does that work for investors as well? Or you just rather deal with the homeowner and not deal with a second investor? Does my question make sense? Yeah.
We can work with owner-occupied properties. We can also work with rental properties. The only constraint is that we can't work with properties that are owned by non-natural persons, such as LLCs or irrevocable trusts. So the property has to be owned by a person. If it's a rental property, then that's fine. We do reduce the maximum amount that we'll invest. So there are some slight changes to that maximum combined lien to value that we talked about. But no, this is absolutely a strategy for landlords and for small portfolio owners that want to find ways of using the equity without increasing their overall leverage on their properties.
No, I love this. So is this program available in certain states or do you have it open for all 50? How are you structuring your state agreements or county agreements?
It's available in 15 states at the moment. Those are primarily the larger states. We are in the process of expanding the number of states. There are some areas in some states where it is very difficult because of the local regulations. For example, in Texas, Because of the homestead regulations, it's very difficult for us. In fact, it's, you know, we don't offer programs in Texas, and there are a number of states where we're probably not going to, because the house price appreciation is just doesn't compare to some of the other other states, and I'm sure you know what I mean. But you know, we are rolling out and we are working with our partners. So we are currently dealing in the larger states right now.
No, that's great. I mean, I think, like, it's Matthew, this could be a game changer, because again, I'm going to be honest with you, I never heard of it. I heard of the other HELOC, home, a reverse mortgage and all this. And this is something new to me. So this is definitely, to me, it could be a game changer because of people like you that are trying to help the homeowner definitely pay down some debt, maybe not refinance, but at least do a minimum rehab in their house. Absolutely. Maybe they could sell it down the road. So that's, you're definitely helping out.
I mean, I'll give you an example. One of the people I was working with this morning, she wanted to, we'll be able to get her almost $200,000. And she's in California. She's going to build an ADU, which is effectively an additional or an auxiliary.
Like a mother-in-law type of.
Yeah, it's a granny flat, I think.
In
using the vernacular. So, you know, converting a garage to a 1,500 square foot apartment that she can then rent out. Now, you know, in California, the sort of rates that she can get is quite a lot for a 1,500 square foot apartment, you know, in the middle of Los Angeles. So what she's doing there is she's taking money out of her equity. There's no debt involved. She's using that to build an ADU, and that ADU is going to give her, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month of free cash flow. So you're effectively turning equity into, you know, mailbox money, for want of a better term. So that's one great use case.
Now, is this basically just a single family? Do we do multifamily?
Up to four units.
Duplexes?
Single family, duplexes, multifamily units, up to four units. And that's, we're looking to expand that over time. But what we want to focus on is people that are motivated. This is a partnership agreement. In other words, we're working with you as the homeowner. We've both got a vested interest in the property. Now, that's different to a debt relationship. I don't care what happens to your property, because as long as I've got enough debt coverage and go up or down, I don't mind. As long as there's enough value there to cover my debt in case you default on the mortgage. In a home equity agreement, then we have to make sure that we want the owner to be motivated to look after the property, because that's the way that we're going to get the most from our investment. So the more you move towards commercial, you can tell it's late in the day, towards commercial properties, the less of that motivation you get. It becomes much more of an arm's length transaction. So this is why home equity agreements, I don't think, will work very well in a truly commercial arena. I think they will work very well as they do in that residential arena, because both parties are much more motivated.
I could definitely see this working, especially if a homeowner. Now, one thing before I forget, do you need the homeowner to have a certain amount of cash reserves? Does that help you or your investors at all if they have 3, 6, 9? That's what the bank acts, something like 6 to 9
months.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So you've got to unlearn everything you've learned about debt. In other words, what we do look for is a credit score of 550 and above. So we do need to have some. So in other words, that's pretty low still. Anything lower than that is probably an indicator of some deeper problem. So 550 and above is a credit score. We don't have a requirement for cash. The more equity you have, the less we will look at income. In most cases, we will ignore debt to income ratios unless it becomes clear, looking at your credit report, that you are likely to have a problem in the very short term. And we want to avoid that, because we don't want people defaulting on their mortgages, because then, you know, we're both in a problematic scenario.
Right, because then the investor's not going to get their money back, of course. I Matthew, this is amazing. Like I said, I'm definitely gonna look more into this because this is something that could be a game changer for other, for not only homeowners, but you said that you might work with investors also. Like I said, non-occupied homeowners. So this is something that
no, we do. I mean, this is something we actively do. It's not something we're planning. We are today, directly and through our relationships, we're able to fund homeowners either owner-occupied or rental properties or investment properties.
Right.
You know, we can do that today.
Yeah, no, that's great. So before, I know we're short of time here. So before we let you go, tell us about your podcast and how did you get into it and what's the name of it?
Now, this is something that it's a bone of contention, frankly, because I started my podcast. I did 63 episodes. I did two a week. It's called Hooked on Startups. And I'm just desperate to get it restarted again because I put it on hold a couple of years ago. Because 3 years ago now, because we started Quantum. And I thought, well, I'll just pause the podcast because, you know, and I'll pick it up again in a couple of months. But that never happened. But it was just such fun talking to people about, you know how it is.
I know.
It is a great environment. People are so generous and interesting, and so I'm really just keen just to sort of I got to try and remember all the things that you've got to do in terms of recording and editing, and I can't remember where I post this thing now. I think it's so I got to remember all that stuff, but it will be coming back.
Okay. Well, you have a great topic to talk about. Yeah, you have a great topic to talk about. I mean, this is, to me, just, I mean, talk about this. I mean, you could probably have 100 episodes just on this.
I think I would end up with like one listener if I did that, actually. I think
I don't think so.
But some of the people I spoke to, there's, such fascinating stories about, about businesses that they started and, how one just, one doesn't fumble one's way, but one, how you just learn day by day, and every day does truly bring its new challenges. So it was, so that's why I'm really keen to start it up again.
No, I learn every time I interview like people like yourself. I always learn something new, and I'm like, wow, I never thought about that. Oh wow, this is great. And, and I learned just as much as anybody else does. And I think it's a great platform for investors. There's, for anybody that's willing to share, exactly. What I mean?
You know, so, it is.
So, Matt, do any books you like to recommend to our audience and maybe your audience?
Well, there's one that sort of springs to mind. I mean, I haven't read a book other than, The Three Billy Goats Gruff, which is this fabulous story, but it's probably restricted to sort of 5 years and below. Other than that, and the Pied Piper of Hamelin, which is
gotcha.
I just picked up this book the other day, which is called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Now, Chris Voss, I met a couple of years ago. We're part of a networking group. I used to live in Southern California, and Chris is an ex FBI negotiator. In other words, if you are in a particularly sticky situation, they send Chris in, who will convince you to do what the FBI want you to do. Absolutely fascinating character. And the book is full of all of these sort of FBI insights. I mean, for example, if you are asking someone, normally when you phone someone up, you say, is this a good time to call? That's not the thing to do. Okay. The thing to do is you say, have I caught you at a bad time? Because then people's natural reaction is, no, it's fine. Don't worry, it's fine. But if you say, is now a good time to call? They'll go, oh no, well, I've got to wash my hair, or I've got some TV I've got to watch. So it's amazing. These little sort of psychological tricks and tips born out of billions of dollars of investment, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation that, we can pick up and use for the price of a book.
I heard of this book. It's funny because when you said Never Split the Difference, and I forgot where I heard it from, but all right, I'll definitely look into this.
But it's not just that, but I think he's a very interesting character. I get nothing from this other than just a sense of purpose and well-being. But some of his Google videos where he talks to the guys at Google and Microsoft, you know, that it's just insight. I've always been fascinated by how these sort of, you know, these government entities work, and to sort of be able to pick up some of the tips from that is, I think, just a fascinating area. It's more, it's an area of psychology that I think is, you know, we can apply to everyday life.
No, I'll definitely put this in the show notes. That's amazing. So Matthew, if somebody wanted to locate you, what's the best way? And if they wanted to talk to you, any website you want to give
out? Yeah, well, everything is, it's Quantumre. That's Quantumre. So that's, it stands for Quantum Real Estate. So it's quantumre.com. Everything is there. So all of the, you know, podcasts and news items, and we have a downloadable guide. We've got phone numbers, contact details, email addresses. There's a calculator there where you can find out how much home equity you could unlock. And, you know, we try and be as absolutely responsive as possible. So please just check out the website. And if you've got any questions, you know, shoot us an email and we'll get back to you as soon as humanly possible.
No, sounds good. Well, listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. This to me was a golden nugget. This is something new I never heard of. So I'm pretty sure my listeners are going to have a ball listening to this episode.
Wonderful. William, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure coming on. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, everyone, that was Matthew Sullivan, and you can find him at quantumre.com. That's Quantumre.com. Matthew, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peer2peerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows and check out our blog. Also, if you guys go to Apple Podcasts, please look for us on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm William Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.